Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Fruit Bearers for the Kingdom, already in progress.
I used to go to a church that took 30 minutes for the invitation and all that stuff and 30 minutes of teaching, and then after an hour we went home. And baby, if that service went more than an hour and 5 or 10 minutes, some of them got them walked out. You know, what are you trying to do? I mean, you know, an hour a day on Sunday should be more than enough. Well, I don't think you're walking in love with God. I think you forget who you're coming to church to please. You're definitely not coming to church to please God. And you want to know why you're sick? All of a sudden you come down with a sickness, and then you're saying, wait a minute, God. You said right there in your word, if I obeyed you and did everything you said, you would take all sickness away from me. And I'm sick and I got pains in my body. And the Lord will speak to you and say, you're not obeying what I said. I told you to take out the trash. And you didn't do it. You just walked right on by that trash can and you went out and played baseball. Is that the way we do it? Yeah, we don't spend time with God. I mean, if he tells you to do something under the new covenant, if you're a child of God and you're spending time with God and you're walking in love with him, I guarantee you the day will come, you will hear his audible voice. Now, I'm going to ask this question, and I want a show of hands. How many of you in this room have ever heard God speak to you audibly? Okay, wow, look at that. That's a whole bunch of you. But many of you have not. In fact, let me tell you, I had a lady that worked for me one time, years ago, and she said, Pastor, I hear you talking about God talks to you, and she said, I've never heard his voice. I would give anything to hear God's voice. I said, well, ask him. I mean, just, you know, call unto him, say, Lord, I'd love to hear you talk to me. I'm your daughter. Would you please talk to me? And thank you, Lord, for doing it in Jesus' name. And I said, then just keep praising him and worship him and thanking him for talking to you. Well, several weeks went by, and one day I come into work one morning, and she was already here, and she had a long face, and I said, how are you doing this morning? She says, last night I heard God's voice. I said, well, that's what you've been praying for. She said, but I didn't want to hear it. I said, well, if you don't mind, I said, tell me what he said. She said, well, you know this man that goes to our church, so-and-so? I said, yes. And she said, he's a very nice man. She said, he is a very nice man. In fact, I think he's the nicest man I ever met. But she said, he's really a gentleman. Said, we were out, we went on a date last night, and we were out near the lake, and we pulled up out there and looking at the water and the boats and the lights and all that stuff. And she said, you know that he's never been married. I said, well, yes, I know he's never been married. She said, you know, I was married once. And I said, yes, I know that. So she said, he's never had sex, but I have because I was married. And said, while I was sitting there in his arms, and he had his arm around me, he's a perfect gentleman. He was not touching me anywhere inappropriate. He just had his arm around me. And I'm sitting there fantasizing, Lord, I wonder what it would be like to go to bed with him. And she said, all of a sudden, I hear the voice. He said, Veronica, you're sinning. Stop it. He said, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear that. So see, when you ask God to talk to you, you better be ready. He may talk to you and he may not tell you what you want to hear. What do we want to hear him say? Well, oh, yes, you're such a sweet and nice girl. I love you so much. You're so sweet. I love you. That's all we want to hear, isn't it? Sure, that's all we all of us want to hear that. But you can hear that if you will do what he says. I remember one time a man that was sick, and I'm just learning really about healing, and I'm learning the things of how it works, and I'm getting several people healed, but I'm still a lone wolf all out there by myself, as I was still in the Baptist church back in those days. And all of a sudden, this friend of mine's daddy died, and so he was about 86 or 7, something like that. I went down to his funeral, and while I was there, I seen one of his sisters, and I asked her the question. I said, where is, I'll use Bob for a name. I said, where's Bob? And she said, Thurman, you haven't heard? I said, no, I haven't seen him in 15 years. I said, what's the deal? She said, he's in the hospital in Brownwood. I said, wow. I said, what's wrong with him? She said, well, the doctors think he's got brain tumors. I said, okay. So I stopped at the hospital, and when I saw him in the room he was in, he was my age and he was 55 because I was 55. Well, you can see how long it was. I'm 77 now, so you can see how long ago that was whenever we did this. Anyhow, I went in and this 55-year-old man would have passed for 95, easy. He looked awful. Straggly white hair, and he looked awful. 55 years old. I thought, Lord, I wonder what in the world he did to get him in that kind of shape. Because if I obey God, he promises to give me a long life too. You know that? And 55 is not a long life, would you say? No, no, you may think it's a long life if you're only 20. You know, but if you're past 55, you're going to realize 55 is not very old. You know, I mean, it didn't take me no time to get 77. And it's gone by in a hurry. Y'all know what I mean? So anyway, I went on home. I virtually just prayed a little simple prayer for him. And I asked the doctor, I said, what are y'all going to do with him? And he said, well, we're going to send him to San Antonio. And they're going to cut the top of his skull off and see if they can take these brain tumors out. Ooh, that don't even sound exciting to me at all. But anyway, so I prayed for him and I left. And a few weeks later, I heard that he'd been to San Antonio. They had done the surgery and it was much worse than they thought. And the doctor that done the surgery said, except God intervene, this man's history. He will be dead in a few weeks. There's nothing we can do to help him. According to the scripture up here, who is it that said he would take the sickness away from you?
The Lord.
Who?
The Lord.
The Lord. So if you don't obey him, guess who puts the sickness on you?
The Lord.
The Lord. I mean, he's in charge. I mean, that's scary when you learn there's only one you got to please. And that's God. You didn't have to please nobody else to get your healing, did you, Paula? Only God. He's the one that puts it on you. He's the one that takes it off of you. So anyway, after I heard the shape he was in and that they sent him back to Goldthwaite to the rest home to die, I thought, well, I'll take a day off. I was still working in the engineering world back in those days. So I took a Monday off and I drove 3 hours down there to where he was. And when I walked in, I met this woman, nice looking woman, attractive woman. I said, who are you? She said, I'm his wife. I said, oh. I said, how long y'all been married? She said, 10 years. I said, why? I said, well, I knew his first two wives. I said, are you number three? And she said, yes, I'm number three. I said, have you ever been married before? She says, no. I said, he's my first only husband. But she said, he's a really nice man. I really love him. And I said, well, he is a good man. I've known him. I went to school with him, so I've known him all my life. I said, where do y'all go to church? She said, the First Baptist Church. I said, how many times have you been? You ever stop to wonder why you ask so many questions? You know, why do you think, here I'm a son of God working for the Lord, why do you think I ask these kind of questions? Because I'm led by the Spirit of God. See, he's giving me information I'm going to need in a few minutes, and I don't even know it. You know, it's not often that, you know, if I'm just out with somebody, I say, how many times have you been to church? I don't hardly ever ask that question unless I'm led by the Spirit. So she said, we've been to church about 5 or 6 times. I said, well, I thought she meant this year. You know, I mean, I said, he was a Sunday school teacher. He was a youth leader. I said, I can't believe y'all have only been to church 6 times this year, and it's already like 4 or 5 months up into the year. She said, oh, Thurman, that's not what I meant. She said, we've been married 10 years. I've only been to church 5 or 6 times in that 10 years. I said, ma'am, don't you know the Word of God says we're supposed to go to church? She said, no, no, no. We don't have to go to church. We can serve God at home. We don't have to go to church. I said, but that's not what the Scripture says. Scripture in Hebrews 10:25 clearly says, forsake not the gathering of yourself together on a regular basis as the manner of some are. So what do you think God expects his children to do? Go to church. He expects you to go to church, and that's why you put pastors and teachers and evangelists and apostles and prophets and all these things in the church to edify and build up the church. Because most people will not, if they're at home on their own, they won't even read the Bible. Very few people read the Word of God at home. If they don't go to church, I guarantee the Bible's got dust on it. So anyway, I told her, I said, ma'am, y'all need to be in church. She said, you see, I don't believe that. And I thought to myself, I'm getting nowhere with this woman. I might as well just give up and just start praying over him. So I moved over and I started talking to him. Now, he was having trouble. He just sitting there looking. And I just thought, well, all these brain tumors, his head's eat up with brain tumors. I just can't gather that. But his head's all full of brain tumors. And he's really, really, really just out of it. So as I'm talking to him, and he's not responding at all, I just start praying over him. I start using scripture. I do a lot of things. Now, at that point, I did not understand John 20:23 back in those days. I didn't know I could forgive his sin like I do today. Today, I know that John 20:23 says, whosoever sins I forgive, they're forgiven. I didn't know that. So if you don't know something, you can't do what you don't know. And so I didn't know to forgive his sin. I didn't know what to do there. So I just used all the healing scriptures that I knew that I could possibly use to pray over him. And that I had seen people get healed with in the last few years. I stayed there with him probably 4 or 5 hours praying over him, anointing him with oil. I did everything I knew to do for his healing. And finally, after all that day, I turned to the man and I says, Bob, who am I? And he's looking out the window. Hadn't made a sound all day long. He turned like this and looked me right in the eye and said, you're Thurman Scrivener. Man, I jumped up and down and screamed. I said, praise God, you're going to be healed. I know it. It's a done deal. You're healed. So I thought, well, I got to go home. So I run out and get in my car and I drive 3 or 4, 3.5 hours back home. And I'm praising the Lord all the way, thanking him for healing my friend Bob. That was on Monday. Thursday, they called me and said he died. I said, what? I can't believe he died. I said, Lord, I went to his funeral that next Sunday. I went back down there, went to the funeral, and I watched them put a 55-year-old man in the grave. I thought, that's exactly how old I am, just like that 55. And you know, since I'm 77 now, that sure does seem like a long time ago, but it's not very long ago. You know that? Wow. I mean, I watched them put him in the ground, and I got in my car, and I started home. I'm all by myself. And I said, Lord, I got to know what I did wrong. I said, Lord, I've seen you heal lots of people. I know you heal people. I've seen you heal people. I've seen you do awesome miracles of healing. But Lord, I did everything and more with this guy than I've ever done with anybody in my life. More. I've spoke more scripture. I did more things. And he died. So I got to know what I did wrong. And I thanked him for his answer every time I do that. I get almost all the way home. And just before I get home, the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, you didn't do anything wrong. You'll find the answer to your question for him, why he died, is in John 15:2. Well, I didn't know what John 15:2 said at the time. So, man, I pulled off the side of the road and I opened my Bible and I read these words in John 15:2. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes it away. In other words, he cuts it off. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so you'll be more fruitful.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled Fruit Bearer for the Kingdom, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.